22nd, 2017. Would everyone please rise for the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Please call the roll. Here.
Here.
Commissioner
Stewart?
Here.
Commissioner
Nicholson?
Here.
Commissioner
Ready. Thank you. That'll take us to a public comment period for today's meeting. Members of the public wishing to address the Civil Service Commission on matters other than those scheduled may do so when recognized by the President. President, presentations are limited to 3 minutes per individual. Is there anyone here wishing to speak to the Commission at this time? Please come up. Give us your name for the record.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Clark Guest. I'm a supervisor for San Luis Obispo County Drug and Alcohol Services. And I wanted to bring to your attention that back on March 23rd, 2016, this commission passed new specifications for social services, behavioral health program supervisor, licensed psych tech, licensed vocational nurse, library associate, for four different classifications for three different agencies. And they all went through except the drug and alcohol specifications, the behavioral health program supervisor. In fact, the other health agency spec was passed on 3/23, went to the board on 4/19, and was implemented on 9/24. So I believe that this exclusionary measure to exclude drug and alcohol from these past classifications that you all approved needs to really be addressed. And when that passed, we have a letter from the HR supporting this. Everybody supported this. So it really seems like at some point during the process, drug and alcohol was singled out to be excluded from this. On February 1st, myself and two other supervisors filed a formal complaint with HR and our management team to address this. And as of today, I have still not received a response from HR. We met with our management team last week, which basically said they're under no obligation to follow through with this. And because of their response from our formal complaint, we are now thinking about filing a formal grievance, but I've also been informed that that's probably dead on arrival. So my point today is to leave you with drug and alcohol services has been excluded by a lot of classifications, and they have a big problem with their whole classification and a blending of behavioral health services, which is creating a lot of hierarchical problems within our department that really needs to be addressed at some point, because, you know, Civil Service Commission is supposed to be looking at our rights and helping us with some of this stuff. You know, this is just a matter that I think that would need to be addressed at some point. And, you know, you always hear that we don't have the money, but we are losing employees right and left to drug and alcohol services. We supervise both mental health and a behavioral and drug and alcohol services staff in the same hallway, doing the same job, working in the same programs, and this exclusionary practice really needs to be addressed at some point.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
I'm sure there's probably no one here to speak at this moment, so I'm not going to ask for that. But Mr. McNulty, can we just ask to have a report given back to the commission on this item? That would be probably the best way to handle it.
Yes, we can ask that the report be made at your next meeting.
Yes, so if you could forward that, please. So we'd like to have a report back to the commission to address these issues. Any commission comments on this at all? All right. Thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here wishing to address the commission at this time before we close the public comment? All right, seeing none, we'll move on. And we will look and consider at the minutes and consider any amendments or changes, modifications to those minutes from January 25th, 2017. Any comment? Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
All right, is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries. All right, next we have a new specification that would be a dispatch manager.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Taj Donchermont, Human Resources Analyst, and with me today is Commander Aaron Nix with the Sheriff's Office. We're here to request your consideration and approval for a new class specification of dispatch manager. I would first like to state for the record that there was an error on the cover memo. The date should read February 22nd, 2017, rather than 2016. That's page 4A1. As you probably read in the cover letter for this request, this position will be responsible for managing the overall operations of the dispatch center. The sheriff's office dispatch center has undergone expansion and changes over the last 2 years that has prompted the creation of this classification. Modifications to the 911 system and changing requirements placing stricter standards on dispatch centers in the state of California is creating the need to focus more time and attention on implementing and maintaining effective operations. In addition, the Sheriff's Office has taken on dispatch responsibility for two outside agencies, requiring someone to act as a liaison between the Sheriff's Office and these agencies and to manage the agency contracts. With this change, the Sheriff's Office also expanded their staff by 5 dispatchers in order to effectively facilitate the change without a decline in service to the public. This gives us a total of 20 dispatchers, resulting in a larger scope of supervision in the dispatch center. We believe that the additional responsibilities as described justify the request to add this new classification. The essential functions and minimum qualifications as listed in the position description are consistent with our benchmark counties. And to give you an idea where this position fits in the Sheriff's Office structure, we've included 2 organizational charts for your review. The first one is on page 4A3 and shows where the dispatch center fits into the Sheriff's Office structure overall. The second displays the chain of command. It's 4A4 and shows that the dispatch manager will report directly to the chief deputy of field operations. So at this point, we'd be happy to entertain any questions that you might have.
All right, thank you. Before we start with the commission, are there any members of the public wishing to speak on this item? All right, seeing none, we'll move over to the commission. Mr. Manassian.
Yes, I have looked at this. How was the management or the manager, how was this handled in the past as far as?
Currently the model is that there is a sworn commander, the headquarters commander, and that falls under his or her umbrella.
Okay.
And there is currently a dispatch supervisor that handles the duties. But we found over time, because we've seen quantum leaps in technology, we're becoming increasingly tech. Everything we do is tech-driven now. As an example, 5 years ago, we went to an IP-based 911 system. We were the first civilian agency in the country to go to that system. So that was a paradigm shift in the way we did business. Our current dispatch supervisor spends an inordinate amount of time working with our records manager, Vicki O'Keefe, on providing information that we are under subpoena for, PRAs for.
Okay.
That alone takes a huge amount of her time. So what we're finding is, the commanders rotate in and out. You know, they'll be there for a matter of months to a couple of years. None of them have the technical. As someone that did the job for 3 years, I didn't begin to have the technical expertise that she has. Far my superior in every way, shape, and form, because there's no way to gather that kind of experience. It's taken her 25 years to gather that expertise, and we're trying to. She's wearing too many hats. She's having to differ into doing too many things. She can't simultaneously be a line-level supervisor and a division manager. And that's really what we're asking them.
Okay.
Right? Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, thank you. I've got one other question, kind of an operational question. I've heard in the past that if you have a cell phone and you call in, it's handled differently than a landline, and they don't know where your position is. Is that correct or not?
That's one of the things I'm talking about. Historically, in the beginning, it would route automatically to the highway.
Yes,
and
right.
And that became too burdensome for them.
Right.
So they're in the process. It's one of the ongoing discussion points with providers, with carriers, is making sure they're getting routed. And results vary. Some carriers are very progressive about it, and using some of their geolocation services to get to the right people. And some, especially the burner phones, the pay-as-you-go, are not very good at it.
They are.
So it's a big part of what we're doing now is trying to build accountability into it to make sure the call goes to the right place every time.
Because I think the signal goes from cell phone, there's tower. And come, but the other thing, our automobiles have OnStar. So it does, if the airbags are deployed, it sends a signal somewhere, and they're supposed to know where you are. Does that go through the same system?
What they do is that's a private sector system.
Okay.
So reports, they have their own basically private sector dispatch company.
Okay.
The information comes to them. They, in turn, by policy, call us. And that's how they
report
the information.
Okay. Good.
If you have a smartphone on you,
yeah,
we can find you through
okay,
geolocation.
Good. You've answered a lot of questions. Thank you.
I have quite a few questions. Sorry. Just the grammar thing, though. 585, there's line 51, I think verbally and versus an. And the same thing is on 588. That is line 46 on 5A8.
And what was 4A5? What line number were you there?
5A5 was 51.
5A5.
Yeah.
5A5. Thank
you. Sorry, yeah, a little camera thing. Okay, so, but I'm thrilled that you guys are working on improving safety, because when I saw that on 482 of how the rotation was going, it seemed incredibly crazy. But I wondered why we didn't look at more of like a possible career series of like 1, 2, 3 versus just jumping to a supervisor level versus keeping the manager, a manager level and keeping the supervisor and the manager.
So this is actually part of a bigger reorganization that we are working on, and we are looking at a 1, 2, 3 series for, and then a supervisor position and then the dispatch manager. That will be coming to you guys probably in the next couple months. We just didn't have it ready yet. There's still discussions in the department of how we want to structure those positions.
Okay. And as far as manager versus supervisor, is there a reason you wanted to go that high, I guess, to start off with? It seemed like money-wise, obviously, it's going to be quite expensive, and I'm just curious.
So we already have dispatch supervisors.
Right.
As Aaron mentioned, they're working supervisors. So structure-wise, it made sense to have a manager, and then we'll have supervisors under the manager and dispatchers under that.
Okay, there's only one supervisor. That's why I was confused.
Right, but we are looking at adding another.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because of the 1, 2, 3, do you not want to go temporary on this concept first and then go permanent later if that is necessary?
Part of this is what the sheriff's vision is for what he wants to do with actually the agency, what we want to do with this. That manager is going to do so much more than just supervise that dispatch center.
Okay.
We're in the process of, we'll be breaking ground soon on a new dispatch center, as an example, of where we're going to co-locate with CAL FIRE.
Oh, okay.
So that person's responsibilities will get larger still.
Okay.
It is reasonable to think that those are not the last two agencies that we will provide dispatch services for. There's, San Luis PD, some of the other ones we probably won't. What we didn't list in here, we provide dispatch services for probation. We do a lot of dispatch servicing for the Harbor Patrol in the Avila area. The demand's just going to get greater over time.
Okay.
And as we become increasingly tech-heavy, the demands on his or her time away from actual supervision is going to get better.
Okay.
We're in the process of reorganizing. We have senior dispatchers. We're working on redefining their duties,
okay,
and creating more of that 1, 2, 3 series and put more supervisor responsibilities on that.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Ms. Nix.
I was curious whether this is intended to be a promotional position or a open recruitment for the position. Are you going to have to search for somebody with the ability to take on this higher level of responsibilities?
Actually, we will be running it as a department promotional.
Okay.
Yes.
And, okay, so that gets that question. And then I just wanted to go to the part on 4A6, education and experience. And I'm looking at the 7 years of emergency dispatch experience in public law enforcement agency or the equivalent. And then it says 5 years of this experience must be in a position equivalent to the sheriff dispatch supervisor. How did you arrive at the need for this particular experience and length of time in that kind of a position?
So this builds off of our other existing positions. The lower level dispatch supervisor requires 5 years experience as a dispatcher for a public law enforcement agency, and then 2 years as a dispatcher. So we started at those minimum qualifications and built off of that.
Okay, and then that, let me see here, I've misplaced the, here it is. Okay, dispatch supervisor. Is that the position that a commander now holds, or is that a different position?
It's a different position. The headquarters commander, it's an umbrella that covers a lot of different areas. The watch commander's office, a lot of other things that are on campus. They're basically the administrative commander on campus. This is just one part of their responsibilities. Dispatch supervisor, that is their principal focus, is the supervisor of dispatch, and they're non-sworn, as opposed to a sworn commander.
Okay. Okay.
Their direct reports to that commander. As the supervisor, that's
okay,
their,
the dispatch supervisor reports to the commander. So this position of the dispatch manager, will they be independent, or will they still be under the supervision of the commander?
We're actually taking the commander out of that mix, and the dispatch manager will be reporting to the chief deputy.
Okay. All right.
The chief of operations.
Okay. And then the other question that I had is on page 4A6, which is line 91 under ability to, and it says troubleshoot hardware and software problems with dispatch equipment. And I'm wondering, will you, and this gets back, I probably didn't do this in the right order, to the education and experience, do you need somebody with IT skills if you are expecting them to handle hardware and software issues?
I would say to be as candid as possible, you need someone that speaks the language. They don't. They're not going to go in. We don't expect them to go and actually fix the problem. But presently, our dispatch supervisor, Rhonda Durian, if there's something wrong, she's usually able to figure out what it is, because she and I were there when we built this system.
Uh-huh.
So we were the ones that dealt principally with our contractor, Raytheon, and with our in-house IT and the communications department to build this system out. Rhonda has a comprehensive understanding of that system. So if something goes wrong, she almost always knows what it is. And she's able to save time by directing the IT specialist directly to where it is.
Okay. Now, Rhonda is on duty now, if you will, and you said something about 25 years experience. If she were to retire or something, what happens to her? Because right now it sounds like she does this kind of thing. If you had to replace her, would you need someone with IT skills?
You would need somebody with an operational understanding of the system. Ideally, if this were to work properly, assuming Rhonda was to take the position, we would immediately begin succession. And the next level of supervision, those people would begin being trained in how to eventually take her place, like we do any other position.
Of course. And is that part of the key to what you were describing before, that you're putting in to place a whole new system of supervisors and line staff?
Right. We're doing a little bit of reorganization. There'll be, if all goes as planned, there'll be a job title that we're phasing out and then replacing with the career series and adding another supervisor so that we have that succession planning.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
All right. Mr. Nicholson, any comments,
please? Just a couple of questions. So how many dispatch supervisors do you have right now?
One. And then we have senior dispatchers, principal focus of their responsibilities is training officers. And they can be a floor supervisor of sorts. It's a little hazy right now. There's no specifically delineated duties for them to be supervisors. So that's one of the things what Todd is talking about that we're working in restructuring, to more clearly delineate their role.
And so Rhonda is the dispatch supervisor right now?
Yes.
And the thought is that she needs to have people, more people working under her so she can take care of some of the duties that she's been assigned or is taken on.
What we're finding is that, unfortunately, we were more reactive than proactive on this as the job changed and it did become more tech-heavy. 20 years ago, it was a much simpler task in that it was more supervisor-heavy. It was supervising your line staff, whereas now she's a records manager as much as she is anything else. She's being torn in too many different directions, and we're expecting her to have a mastery of too many things at once. It's just not realistic, if I'm making sense.
Yeah. The dispatch supervisor is a working supervisor, so they're in the dispatch center with the dispatchers, you know, while calls are being taken. So what's been happening is because Rhonda's taking on all these other functions, she's not able to act as the working supervisor as much as she probably should be.
And so what are her hours right now? She's not working 24/7, so how is supervision going when she's not there?
They vary wildly. I mean, there's times she'll be in at 3:00 in the morning, and then there's times she'll work regular business hours. That's another part of the problem. She can't be everywhere at once, and we're having a span of control issue, basically. She can't be there all the time. And five years ago, there would be 3 dispatchers on duty during normal. Now we have 5. There's usually a minimum of 5 on. Handling almost an order of magnitude more work than they used to 10 years ago. It just, like I said, unfortunately, we were reactive here. It became too big a problem. She can't be there physically on site enough and still meet all the other demands of her job, which is the records management and liaising with other agencies, because they have to, you know, our contracted agencies have demands as well. Records we have to provide them, you know, phone calls, in-car video, stuff like that, that only she can provide to them.
And why, are you looking at getting more than one dispatch supervisor to replace her if she becomes a dispatch manager, and what other jobs are you looking at relieving her of, like records and things like that, so she can be a supervisor or overall manager?
The manager, as far as that record, like I said, she works with Vicki O'Keefe, our records manager, so Vicki handles a lot of the other, you know, RMS-driven stuff. That stuff she'll continue to provide, and she'll continue to be our agency liaison to the other agencies and to the various commissions that she serves on. The supervision, like I said, we're working on restructuring the field training officer position to make more of a supervisor-driven role and training. And there would be more responsibilities placed on them to supervise their shift when it's going on. It's no different than when we restructured years ago the lieutenant, captain, command. You know, we changed it to commander, chief deputy, because it was a span of control issue there as well. Whereas what we're doing is creating basically sergeants of the dispatch that will be in charge of that shift, where she would be more of a lieutenant or a commander level, and she would be the overarching manager of that division.
Okay.
I hope I answered your question.
I understand.
Okay.
So, and you said you're going to be coming back to us with more of a department-wide reorganization?
Yes, if all goes as planned. That's the plan. We're working on it.
Thank you.
All right. If you'll turn to page 4A, 6, and then look at line number 95, where it says public citizens. I think that should be changed to members of the public.
Okay.
And then I have a question as far as line 99. Any combination of educational coursework and training which would provide the opportunity to acquire the knowledge. That's so vague. Is there any way to narrow that down, or does it need to stay that way? It's just a question I'm throwing out. I mean, that's very open-ended.
Yeah, I was just looking at what our supervisor job description says. So I guess we could narrow it down. I'd have to talk to the department to find out what.
Maybe your next good comment on that. I mean, is it? I'm not trying to nitpick anything.
No,
I just.
No, I
but as far as, you know, people applying for jobs and when you're going through sorting out and stuff like that, it just. I don't know if it's needed or if it's not needed. Commissioners, weigh in on that. Just
I think, yes, I probably dropped a stitch there. I was wondering the same thing. Usually they specify something like 2 years of college
in a certain
or equivalent experience or something like that, and that was why I was concerned about the description of 7 years and 5 years.
But for a dispatch person, I'm not sure there's any college education that would fit that exactly.
There's not a specific degree that is relevant for that type of position, and most of it is experience related, and they are required to have some post certifications, so that's where the education comes in.
You
know,
I'm happy with it. I'm okay with it the way it is. I just wanted to see if there was anything that could surface from that.
And we did consider that. We considered, like for training, making it post approved training, but where we would be limiting ourselves. Potentially in the future, we might have to go out of house to fill a position, and there could be someone qualified from another state.
Sure.
It wasn't post licensed, but have something analogous to post.
In years past, you know, I know from being around there, you always had a sergeant as a watch commander, not just a commander as the over the unit, but there's always been a sergeant on duty. Is that still the case?
There is, and they can provide supervision from a call-to-call basis. But they themselves have become much busier than they were in years past because we're servicing such a larger area now. And their emphasis is supposed to be on basically supervising the sworn people that are on duty, making sure they're meeting policy and procedure. And they often lack the expertise.
Yeah.
They don't know when things aren't going the way they should be, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas the dispatch supervisor will be acutely aware if things are not going the way they're supposed to be.
Do you keep somebody there, a sergeant, 24/7, or is just it is?
We're obligated by policy to do because of Diablo, for no other reason. But even when Diablo closes, we will always have a 24/7 supervisor.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way to move off that model.
Okay. Is there any other questions or comments from the commission?
Yeah, I do. Just a couple things. Will this position be considered a safety personnel?
They are non-sworn.
They are. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not. Okay. And the other thing, I think you touched on this. You did, I'm sure, look at other counties' like-sized population.
We did.
And so this is a template that they have also being used in
Correct.
Other counties.
It is consistent with, I think there was 5 other counties that have a dispatch manager.
Okay.
And we utilize their class specs when writing this one.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
If next time we could have like the supervisor description too, that would be helpful. Because I think that's part of we are all just kind of trying to wrap our brain about
right.
how it all works.
Sure.
And that was a little confusing.
Okay.
Thanks.
Mr. McNulty, any comment from you?
Nothing.
Okay, thank you. So if there's nothing further, there are a couple of modifications. So is there a motion to approve this job spec as modified?
I move we approve the job spec as modified.
Okay, is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next, we're going to consider a revised spec for the telephone system coordinator. Mr. McGibbon.
Good morning, President Bergman and Commissioners. Mark McKibben with Human Resources. I'm here unexpectedly alone this morning, about half a department representative, but I think we'll be able to work through this. So the Information Technology Department oversees the county's telephone system countywide. In 2015, an incumbent retired from the current telephone systems coordinator position. And at that time, the department left the position vacant while they studied different technologies that were affecting telecommunications, or what I learned to be now a new term for me, with telephony communications.
Yes,
so since that time, the duties have been split between 3 different positions while the county went through and did some analysis and determination of how to move forward with the technology. It's now anticipated we're going to move sometime in July of this year away from the traditional AT&T environment to a voice-over internet protocol, which means delivering the traditional telephone services over the internet and the county's internal network system. In the budget for fiscal year 17-18, the department is looking to increase this FTE from a 3/4 time to a full-time position. It's been a 3/4 time for quite some time, but again, we weren't concerned about it at that time because it was vacant. We were pursuing, you know, potentially what other duties we may need to add. So we're updating the specification at this time in anticipation of a need to fill the position in the next few months, or anticipation of the budget being approved as proposed. As indicated in your materials, the most substantial updates are to the representative duties and the skills and abilities related to the position. It may seem a little odd that it isn't more tech-driven classification as you might expect, but what's happening is that this is a coordinator position that will interact with departments and with the vendor, but much of their interaction will be with their own internal IT staff who have that technical knowledge. So this is a point person for departments as they're moving offices, moving equipment, because everything from your printers to your photocopiers and your phones, of course, are now hooked up to the network one way or another. So this position belongs in IT where it currently resides, and so we've made some updates, mainly again to the to reflect the newer verbiage, such as telephony and other things in there. It's worth noting that this classification was identified as an obsolete classification just a year ago, so that was a little premature. So your action today then will return this position to the classified service. So I can turn your attention to 5A3, which is our organizational chart for this section of the Information Technology Department. On the lower right-hand side is where this position is identified. It is identified currently as vacant. Proposed 0.25 refers to a proposal in the budget to increase it to a 1.0 position. And it will be, as proposed here, reporting to an administrative services manager who then reports directly to the IT director. Okay. And Ms. Stewart had pointed out, I think, earlier.
It's
quite all right. Tosh took the hit for me. That's great. Yes, it did note that, ironically, on line 51 of 5A5, there's a typo about writing. So we'll take care of that. So I'm happy to answer any questions for you at this time.
Before we ask for the commission to comment, anyone from the public wishing to address this item? All right, seeing none, we'll go on to the commission. Mr. Ohanassian.
On 5A5, the education and experience, you feel that just 2 years of office experience, general office experience, would fulfill the requirements needed for this position, being it's pretty high tech?
Yeah, as I said, the technical support will come from the IT department itself, and so this is truly a coordinator administrative role. The term coordinator, we looked at other classifications, and it's still a pretty common classification title to have because it is collecting information from one group, disseminating it to another, doing some training, updating the overall county, you know, yellow pages or whatever it may be called, the directory. So it resides in the technical in the IT department, but it doesn't need to have all that technical experience. We've been successful in filling the position with these current MQs, and so we found no need to update them beyond that, just the verbiage.
Being the coordinator, you might think about having them understand that verbiage that those folks they're talking to would relate to them. Maybe they pick it up pretty quickly, I'm not sure.
That will come through our other steps in the examination process, so we'll be able to test for that.
Okay.
These being the minimum qualifications, we're going to provide a large pool of candidates, as many as we can, and then go through higher levels of requirements depending on that size of that pool. It's common for larger organizations to have voice over internet protocol as their delivery system. The county's been a little slow at moving away from the traditional AT&T process. So we're confident we'll be able to get a large pool and then do some additional examination processes to identify the most qualified folks.
So you'll go to your internet provider that you have now to provide this service? Is that what you're looking at?
If I had Mr. Bird here to assist me, I'd be able to answer that. I believe that how it works. Really, the first step in the process is to put out an RFP.
Okay.
And identify who the vendors are for that. And then I believe it becomes just another application like Word or Excel or anything else. It's configurable. And so the IT folks would configure it. This person would handle the coordination, the dissemination of information.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
One simple question, I promise. on 5A4, line 21, so assisting implementation and training of staff. So just looking at the org chart, how will they get their training? I just was not really understanding that.
Their training will come actually from the vendor once that vendor is selected.
Perfect.
Yep.
Thanks.
Any further? All right, Ms. Nix.
One of the questions that I had is... since you're putting, you disperse the duties of this position to three different staff, and now you're going to have this person take on those duties again. So those duties will be taken away from the people who've already, who've been doing them, mm-hmm. and they'll all come back to this position?
Correct. They'll be consolidated back into this position. Then those three individuals, they have other duties that they're doing. This was
right.
just put on top of them. And then they will then be able to act as backup to this individual going forward.
And since you're going to a whole new system, what they learn to do there, would that still be cross-training so that they would be able to help if there were issues that came up?
Yeah, what's nice about the way that this actually worked out is that we now have more staff who are familiar with the needs of the telephone system. And so those three staff will all be part of the training and be able to assist all the department staff and the county as a whole. So it actually turns out being a little more robust.
Mm-hmm. Cross-training always helps,
absolutely.
Doesn't it? The other thing that this, again, I think falls under education and experience. The question that I had is, how do these minimum qualifications support that this person would be responsible for purchase and maintenance and installation? I'm not seeing something here, and that helps me know how they'll be able to, with these MQs, accomplish the responsibilities and abilities you've lined out.
Yeah, so the purchasing would technically be done through the centralized purchasing department. This would be the person coordinating with them to ensure that the RFP is done correctly and we're following the purchasing guidelines from the county that are overseen by central purchasing. The other functions are related to inventory, identifying, you know, where the line, you know, which lines need to move from one section to another, those kinds of things. So that would be information that someone would have, being already familiar with a multi-line phone system. Those are common things. It used to be you call AT&T to have things move. Now, mm-hmm. again, someone, either this person and or someone in the IT department can then log on to the database and make the switch. So they're almost virtual lines is what they become.
Okay. And so during this 2 years of general office experience, someone would be acquiring those skills, presumably?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And then I was curious that you are lining out 2 years of general office experience or 1 year as a telephone vendor account representative. And I'm just curious why that's only 1 year there and it's 2 years for the other.
The vendor account representative is exactly what basically what this position would be doing. It used to be that vendors would provide all of this information, the training, the coordination, and they'd be your constant contact. So again, as technology has changed these duties now, we can now do them ourselves. And so that also reflects a previous incumbent in this position, and that was their particular background. So I have to admit that's, it is a little odd to be that specific, but we'd seen
so
that background work.
So you've already got experience
work.
Understanding
exactly.
That's a transferable training.
Right, yeah.
And then the other question I have is this going to be open or promotional?
It would be an open recruitment.
Open recruitment,
yes.
Okay.
There may be some people, again, within the department that are currently done some of this task, mm-hmm. But we feel that there is a significant pool of people outside who may have additional knowledge and information that we don't have currently, so we may benefit from that broader pool of people.
Okay.
So.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. And welcome back, Jean.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this is customer service, basically. This person's
yes.
going to be customer service. Correct?
Yes, it would. Yeah, definitely. It's going to be internal customer service. So it's, yeah. Yep.
I think on your cover memo, I think where you had your recommendation, you should probably add revised class. Are we bringing it back as revised because it's been discontinued, or is it a new now again? How do you consider it?
It is being revised, correct. So the recommendation could be that we approve the revised specification or correction of that subject line.
Yeah.
Thank
and
you.
And then, you know, Mr. Ohanassian was asking you a couple questions, and he just kind of rung a thought in my mind when you said that the coordinator would be deferring off to IT folks that would know more? Should your coordinator know a little bit equal or more than sometimes than the actual IT folks that are going to be working under them?
So what I meant in that perspective is that it would be the technical elements of establishing the system. Mm-hmm. But again, once the software is installed, it's the coordinator is the operator that can now make these changes on the fly, similar to another application system. Yeah.
So that person should that person have some more technical experience or knowledge in that field, or
I don't think it's not necessary again from the minimum qualification standpoint, because again that there's a variety of experience people can come from to be successful in this position. The customer service part is Mr. Nicholson mentioned is a critical part of it as well. If we focus too much on IT, they're not. Be stereotypical. Sometimes they don't have the most advanced customer service skills from an IT perspective, and so this is it's a bit of an odd duck in the IT department.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So there have been a few modifications made. Are there any other questions or comments from the commission?
Yeah, touching on what you just brought up again, Mr. President, in the interview process, if there is someone there that meets these basic qualifications and yet does have some IT knowledge, would that be preferable?
Absolutely. And depending on the level of knowledge, they might just pass through this classification and move into other parts of the department. So it could be a de facto entry-level position for me to grow IT people.
Would it be in that, as far as the qualifications, something to that IT experience would be preferable?
Certainly. I could add that in, and it would become inherently part of the posting every time because it's part of the minimum qualifications. So
okay.
Happy to add a line like that.
Okay, if it's leave that up to the commission, but just something I think would be valuable.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Would that affect the pay grade, though, if you ask for more? I'm just thinking someone with IT experience.
Yeah, that could become difficult given the pay level to actually get somebody with that IT experience.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's
the way our ordinance is written related to compensation, it's very structured, not a lot of flexibility, except on initial hire, mm-hmm. we can place someone at an advanced step within the range with mm-hmm. approval.
Right.
So we may be in that situation if someone meets our preferences, then we consider placing them at step two or three with approval and get them going. So enough flexibility, I think, to make that happen.
Okay.
Right. Anything further, commissioners? Okay. If not, is there a motion to approve as modified?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we have reports. Commission President, I have nothing to report. Commission Counsel?
I have nothing to report.
Next would be outside counsel.
Also nothing to report.
All right. And commission's acting commission secretary.
President Bergman, commissioners, Natalie Walter, deputy director, and I'm filling in for Tammy Douglas Schatz today. I have two items. The first is welcoming two new staff. Ashley Scubiel joined us this summer as a human resource analyst, and Kate Power, who's been with us for a little over a year, was recently promoted to a human resource analyst.
Welcome.
So we're excited to have both of them with us. The second item I have is I need to get a few dates from the commission. We have several grievance/appeals pending that need to come before the commission, and some of the appealable actions are compounding. So if possible to get some dates, that would be great.
What month are you looking in?
I believe we've got April already booked.
We do. And Ms. Walter, Commissioner Nix and I have developed a problem date with our April date, so I would recommend, just to make your life better, can we have a couple more dates for the Santana appeal, that since you're surfing the commissioners for dates at this time? Maybe two more dates, please.
Which date is the conflict?
My date that's the conflict is April 20th, in which I have committed to be a presenter in a continuing legal education thing on writ petitions, which was not yet on my calendar when we did all this last month. And Commissioner Nix, I can't recall from your email.
It's the 19th.
The 19th is your all-day problematic?
It would depend on if I could make a change in the time. I would need an hour, say, so if
you
I...
You want to say that again?
I could be flexible on the day if I could have like an hour, say, 11:30-ish.
That works fine because if a commissioner misses a few hours of a day, we can always pick it up with a CD and you can listen to it.
Okay.
But you said the 19th? We weren't meeting on the 19th.
Yeah.
We were meeting on the 18th and 20th.
Right. No, it wasn't there. He was looking for a date to shift off of the 20th.
Okay.
Okay, so you're good with all the other dates, except...
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Seamus and I have been chatting back and forth about our schedules.
Yes, we have.
So no 20th.
You removed the 20th.
Yes. Sorry about that. That's all my calendar.
And Lisa, are you catching all that, too?
I didn't care about the 20th.
The 20th is canceled.
It is out.
So we're going to have to come and find another date. And then if you'd be so kind again, after we get new dates settled, if you would send them out again, that would be awesome. Thank you.
And then on the Santana case, we can issue a new... Well, we'll have to coordinate with council because they're not here today, but we'll propose that to them and make sure. So we might want to pick a few extra and let them pick two from among a few extra if we could. And I don't know, Ms. Walter, how many you were trying to set before I rained on your parade, so forgive me.
Thank you. We have two that we're trying to set, and each will take approximately 2 days.
Can I ask, do we keep the 18th of April then?
Yes, please, if we may.
The only date in April, or is there another one?
Yeah, it was going to be the 18th and the Santana hearing. My phone calendar doesn't have it all together. It's the 18th for the starting. The 20th is now canceled.
Right.
And then the next 2 days were when, if you know,
Lisa? 26th.
26th,
27th, the next week.
Okay.
So we're good for 18, 26, 27 for now.
Okay, perfect.
And so those next dates we can pick maybe May, June, along with your other ones, Ms. Walter, if you don't mind.
Is it the 26th? That date didn't work for me from the beginning. So.
Okay, let me look. I'm sorry.
The 26th is not a date?
No, I'm a truck.
That's our regular meeting date.
Yeah.
I don't have that either.
I don't either. No,
May I float a trial balloon here? Is a Friday acceptable for... one of the dates? I'm looking at the 21st, and I had a note here that the 28th we had on our calendar. Is that true, too?
Yeah, me too.
Okay. But if we can't do in the middle of the week, is that something that was possible?
The 21st is out for me, but the 28th would work.
Okay, we have the 28th already.
Yeah. We do have the 28th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had all 3 days.
And the 26th is, we had that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And now that, Jed, you can't be here for that date.
That's our regular commission.
We need to move the 26th. The 26th is a half a day conflict for me, so that would be good to move that date.
So just the meeting.
Yeah, I'll probably turn just the legislative part of the meeting over to Mr. Lanossian.
Okay.
So
where are we here?
Which dates are we? So it sounds like the Santana is the 18th.
Yeah.
The 28th.
And the 28th for now.
And not the 27th?
And 27th. Commissioner Nicholson, you're cool on the
27th? He said
27th is fine.
Okay, yeah, so 18, 27, 28.
Yeah. Okay.
So in my opinion, we need to set two more days later, but we can fit the other ones that you're trying to do in.
Right.
And I'm going to have to get council's blessing on two more days later.
Okay. And possibly the first 2 weeks of April, if there's any dates available?
I'm not here. No.
No. Okay. Yeah, so then we'll have to look in May. Okay.
So we're going to move into
May.
We're into May.
That's probably from the 17th through the 20th or the 19th. I won't be here.
All right, so the 3rd and 4th of May?
I won't be here.
Okay. Any day in that week, will you be here, or are you gone the whole week?
I'm here 1st and 2nd. This Monday? Yeah, I'm here 1st and 2nd.
Okay, so maybe we could pick the 2nd. Monday's a tough day.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so and how about the next week?
Are you here the next week?
Mm-hmm, I am.
Right. 10th, 11th? What's 11th?
The 11th is a Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. So
9th,
10th, maybe. Yeah, 10th, 11th is fine.
Okay.
Either one is fine for me.
Pardon?
Any of those 3 dates is fine for me. So
on the 9th, I'm fine. I can do 9th, 10th, 11th.
Mr. Seamus?
9th, 11th look pretty good.
All right, so two of those days. So pick two of those.
So we have the 2nd, the 9th, 10th, and 11th that are up for...
That are open, so we'll pick 2 days in that week.
2 days. I'd say the 10th and 11th.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so we're definitely saying the 10th and 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And then May 2nd as well, correct? Okay, great.
Yes.
So that's three for me.
we need
if I can get one more, and then we can try to fit Santana in as well. Since we're meeting on the 24th for our regular meeting, is that a possibility if we stayed all day that day?
Yes. And I apologize, but our council will not be available May 9th through 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So could we use those dates, Mr. Seamus, for Santana instead?
Yep.
Okay, great. Okay.
Which two, the 10th and 11th?
Yes.
Mr. Seamus?
No, I think we said, yes, we said the 10th and 11th.
Mr. Seamus for Santana?
Yes.
Let's tell them that's what the dates are going to be. They can make adjustments to their calendar. Because
okay.
The commission's going to drive that calendar.
So we will we'll send out an amended order with those
yes,
dates.
Correct.
Which I will prepare.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what dates are we settling on?
10th and 11th.
10th and 11th would be Santana.
Okay.
Right. And then maybe we'd like to try for half a day on the 24th or whenever the hearing is over, and either the 25th.
You mean like a portion of the day? Legislatively on the 24th, I mean, it shouldn't take us longer than an hour to conduct the meetings. So
right.
We always
right.
For
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the 25th?
Yeah, 24th and 5th.
Okay.
Does that work yet, too?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have the date you need?
So I've got 1, 2...
25th. That's not Santana, though, right?
Yeah.
Three. I need one more.
One more. Well, the holiday, I guess, is the following week in here somewhere.
Correct.
Memorial
so
weekend starts.
How about the 26th?
No,
you don't want 3 days in a row, right?
No, mm-hmm. I can't do the 26th anyway.
And we've exhausted April completely?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that give you what you need?
No, I still need one.
We need one more day.
Have we exhausted March as well?
How about Thursday the 1st of June?
That works for me.
Okay. And we'll make sure to get this all to you very specifically, let you know exactly which hearing it's going to be.
Okay.
Are you, you're hearing all that stuff? You staying up with us?
Yeah. Thank goodness for technology.
You might have to replay it 3 times, but you'll get it.
Right. Okay. And that's all I have.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4,
so
five.
The
six,
last day
seven,
was June 1st.
Eight.
June 1st.
That's 8 days, I guess.
Yeah, we've given you quite a bit. All right. Are we good?
Yes, we are.
All right, thank you very much. All right, that'll take us to our next item on the agenda, and that would be closed session per Government Code 54957, hearing and deliberations regarding APL number A616-06. And I think we should come back at about 10:15. Would that be a good starting point?
Yes, President Bergman, I would recommend we do a quick closed session beforehand to do some housekeeping.
All right.
And then Council and everybody can come in after that, so
okay.
Whatever time you think.
So then if it's good, let's come in at 10 after 10. Give us 15 minutes, and we'll just do a quick close session, and then we'll try, will 5 minutes or less, you think? Or
I think 5 minutes or less, yes, sir.
All right, so we'll tell them 10:15 then.
Sounds great. Thank
great.
You.
Thank you.
You want to take comment on the closed session?
Pardon?
You want to take comment on the closed session?
Oh, you know what? While we're still on the record, is there anyone wishing to address the commission about item number 7 on the agenda today? All right, seeing none? Nothing, so we'll adjourn right now for a break, and then we'll come back at 10 after 10 for the close.
Thank you.